This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 13th of September, 1960. The title of this lecture is How Havingness Relates to Circuits. This lecture is 47 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Arrow Productions.
Thank you. Well, I'm glad to see you're all straightened out now. And glad to see you're all taped. If you don't think you are, why, there's still some auditing hours to go, and we're working very heavily on you. The practice of auditing, something I'd like to talk to you about, your difficulties in handling a pre-clear, are all under the heading is the PC gets no subjective reality on what you're trying to do. In other words, you do not reach the PC. Whenever you don't reach a PC, various consequences occur. You train a student, the student has no subjective reality of any kind whatsoever on what you're training, you can count on him going out and practicing massage. That's right. That's because he hasn't been reached, so he knows he can't reach anybody with the subject. Now, you train some boys on this, and their ideas of reaching somebody would be to blow their heads apart, and there you've got your total effect personality at work. So he's going to take those things out of Scientology which have a total effect and which don't have no therapeutic effect. So when they use Scientology, they're going to cut somebody to pieces with it, and you have your other undesirable action. In other words, cutting somebody to pieces at one extreme and the other extreme not reaching them at all. There's a lot of auditors who are their own best press agents. I say a lot of them. I only know about four or five throughout the whole world. Around and tell everybody how good they are. You see their PCs, and their PCs are all sort of wug. Well, all the auditor's doing with them is using the technology of Scientology to overwhelm them. Now, you don't need Scientology to overwhelm anybody. Take a gun out of your pocket and shoot them. They got enough overts on shooting people that the bullet will take effect. You don't have to know any technology. You don't have to know anything to overwhelm somebody, actually. Very simple. Go to jail and get yourself elected the premier of the Congo. Anything, you know. You can have total effects on people. You hire a bunch of rabble and you say, well, here's some gun, go out and kill everybody. Well, let me point something out to you, that this has been going on for a long time and we are where we are now, which is a practically no place. So this operation of the total effect, psychiatric electric shock, prefrontal lobotomy, compares with Bedlam's whips of earlier times, compares with LSD of more modern times. By the way, this LSD is a real joke. I finally got that thing untangled the other day. Psychiatrists have been talking ever since we've been in business about this marvel drug called LSD. Well, every once in a while, we've had some screwball come rushing in and say all we have to do is give somebody CO2, arsenic, or something of the sort, and he immediately can see engrams. So obviously the best way to run Dianetics is to give somebody some arsenic or something of the sort, and then they can see the engram. And they get beautiful 3D pictures. And so they say, this is great. Yeah, it's great, all right. What the fellow does is his resistances to his own creations, which he's putting up, can be lowered to a point where the creation takes full precedence and the individual becomes less than the picture, so therefore the picture becomes visible in 3D. You got it? So all you have to do is kind of knock a fellow around, and he's liable to get 3D pictures. So they've evidently got There must be literally hundreds of thousands of substances which turn pictures on 3D. Hundreds of thousands of them. You could probably get the same effect if you sat down, took some very heavy, pure coffee, unmixed blend, you know, And you sat down, you drank about a gallon of it. You know, swig, 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 swig. You'll have pictures. Let me tell you, you're going to have pictures. All you do is reduce the thetan down to a point where he's less than the bank, and then the bank takes total precedence, and you got it made. You see this? So this marvel drug psychiatry's been talking about in their whole chemical approach is all based upon this particular factor, that if you can just give the fellow enough to reduce him, why, the bank will beef up, and then maybe you'll change positions in the bank. Well, how would you like to audit somebody by randomly changing his position on the track? Let's just randomly change his position on the track without any consent from him under force and duress and have him come up at some other position on the track. Well, in view of the fact that most individuals are sitting in rest points just between having executed somebody and being executed themselves, they're in a fairly untenable but livable rest point. Well, any such substance then would randomly shift the individual, perhaps into the execution, perhaps into being executed. Who knows? He would get a brand new set of somatics. He'd get a brand new series of reaction, and they'd all be less desirable than the one he had before. That is the sum total of the chemical approach. You could always get this. You just put a light cord into the mains and hand the fellow the wires and saying, hold on here for a while. Well, what's this do? This, in effect, reduces the thetan below the level of the bank, and so he can be more of an effect from the bank. And, of course, you'll get a change of bank, and it's seldom a more desirable change. Well, now, you do the same thing with an overwhelming type of auditing, where you simply chop the PC to ribbons, reduce him down, get him to sit there and be totally the effect of the auditor. PC never at cost. Supposing you screamed your auditing commands with the PC and then struck him if he didn't answer at once. Let's give you an idea of it. And the auditing commands which you ran were something on the order of, think of somebody communicating with you. APC at effect. And then all your actions were at effect, and so forth. Well, your PC might wind up saying, well, that's a wonderful auditor. He'll kill me if I don't say so. But nothing has happened here to improve the PC's action in life. You see that? Now, somewhere between achieving no effect on the PC and achieving a total or derogatory effect on a PC, somewhere in between these two points, there is a beneficial effect can be achieved on the PC, where the PC's confidence can be regained in his handling of the bank and the environment in which he exists. To do this, you have to put the PC more thoroughly at cause. And you have to get the PC to handle and look at those things which he is not looking at. Now, the more we know about what the mind is doing, the more ably we can do just this point. But this is a fairly delicate operation. It has to be done in full view of God and light and everybody. You can't take them off into cellars and beat them up and then bring them up and say you're clear. You've got to enter the thing with the auditor's code in mind, and you've got to keep the ARC breaks picked up and the PTPs picked up and so on, and keep the PC running so that he improves his cause. Now, he has gotten himself into some sort of a tangle so as to withhold himself from the world and also to prevent effects, and which is rather funny since basically the world couldn't have any effect on him. He has gotten himself some kind of a clock or some kind of a mechanism or a series of shields or something set up that is so complicated that not even he can take them apart. Well, he's just dandy. He's all adjusted for Markab 55,000 years ago. He's all adjusted, let us say, to be a race driver 40,000 years ago on Markab. Well, that was sort of an interesting way to be a race driver. The car had a spike in back of its combing, and when the driver appeared to be getting a little bit wobbly, this spike could be, by radio control, triggered in the pits, which drove a spike into the back of his neck and gave him an injection of adrenaline so that he could drive better. The basic mechanisms by which a driver was kept alert and the race went on were quite heroic. Now, let's say this fellow is still driving in the races of Markham. Well, that's the only thing he or we object to. He is not a race driver on Markham. And it's very, very hard to have a friend who is driving race cars on Markham when you want him to help you mow the lawn on Earth. Just nothing much seems to happen. You get the idea? Now, what he did was set up a series of mechanisms to prevent himself from driving racing cars on Markham anymore, which makes him drive race cars on Markham all the time. Now, he doesn't know why he set it up now. He doesn't know how he set it up. He doesn't know how it got that way. He hasn't a clue. He thinks he's being the total effect of his environment, and that's his mother-in-law, when as a matter of fact, it's the pit chief. You got everything is misplaced, cross-identified, and so forth. Life doesn't make sense. Now, the hideous part of it is, from the cause point of view, is he's forgotten how he put it together. Well, it's been my job now, I'm guessing. And it's your job now as an auditor to outguess him. Now, how did he manage to get himself in that much trouble? Well, he got himself in that much trouble by getting himself into that much duress. True enough, if we explode this mechanism, he has the idea that if another racetrack was set up here on Earth that was like the racetracks on Markham, this is the one thing he says he would have nothing to do with. He has all these mechanisms now which prevent him from driving any more racing cars, don't you see? That's why you find him always driving race cars here on Earth. He doesn't have a clue why he has to drive race cars, because he keeps throwing them through fences and doing all sorts of weird things with them. This doesn't make sense. So he's doing what he doesn't want to do. His power of choice is totally overthrown, and actually on the broad dynamics, he is usually a dead loss. He's not even a good race driver. That's what this thing finally amounts to. Funny part of it is, if you wanted to fix him up as a good race driver, you'd have to pick him up to a point higher than he found himself to be in before he began to drive race cars on Markham. You follow me? You'd have to bring him up higher. Then he could probably drive race cars well here. See the problem that you're faced with. Now, he went downhill because he wasn't good enough. Now, he wasn't good enough at some place or another in his past. That's all this amounts to. But remember, he already wasn't good enough when he started putting up mechanisms so he'd be no good. It has been clearly demonstrated to him, 100%, been clearly demonstrated to him that he is a failure and he can have no further confidence in himself. So he hands in himself and assumes another self. And that is the basic continuous reaction that goes on. An individual who has believed that he is not good enough throws away himself and substitutes another beingness. Now, there are several mechanisms under which this can be done. There are several mechanisms. One of these mechanisms is a circuit of some kind or another. Now, he sets this mechanism of a circuit up out here to tell him what to do because he can't trust his own judgment anymore. So this circuit out here gets set up so that he can listen to it. But then if he's taking its advice continuously as a circuit, in a very short time, he becomes the circuit. You got the idea? Now, if the circuit is set up on the valence of an identity or a personality, he becomes another identity or personality than who he is. Now, this is a secondary personality, and oddly enough, is never as good as the primary personality. Now, this is very demonstrable, that all substitutes for self in a continuous chain are weaker than self, because they're self on a via. So, therefore, they're never as direct or straight as self. Remember, self is still there putting up these mechanisms. He's putting them up. Well, if self is putting up these mechanisms, no one of these mechanisms can ever be better than self. Got the idea? He doesn't build a finer machine than he can build. And he doesn't build a finer beingness than he is. So you get a dwindling spiral of circuits taking over, one after the other, each one weaker or worse than the last. And when you go at this long enough and arduously enough and carry it on a sufficient distance of a difference of exchanges of selves, he's just that much further from himself and that much further from himself, and he's trying to act through that many more vias, all based, of course, on distrust in himself, he finally gets down to being a citizen of Earth. Well, now, you'll find these selves in mechanical, actual mass formation. They contain a sphere, usually, of motion, enclosing a fixation of thought. So you have a thought set up here with a motion sphere, and all this continuously created makes actually a package. Now, a circuit is a thing, and if you get the idea that it is just an idea floating out, in the, you're going to lose in processing somebody, because a circuit is basically matter, energy, space, and time at a mental level enclosing thought. And the thought is enclosed very carefully by the outer perimeter of continuous motion. And that is a circuit. A circuit is a thing, and as far as the PC is concerned, it has actual physical position in relationship to the PC. A circuit behaves in exact and precise ways. As one's havingness drops, his confidence in himself is dropping, and both of these factors draw the circuit in on him. As a PC's havingness drops, the circuit comes in. As havingness rises, or his ability or belief in his ability to have or possess rises, the circuit moves off. It is so stupidly mechanical that it well, it's as simple a game as child's blocks, actually. You have this mass of some kind or another. It takes many shapes, but the mass is basically motion. This encloses thought. It has a location in the bank, and it will go out, and it will come in. Now, you can make, actually, a circuit move off, and a circuit move in, and a circuit move off, and a circuit move in. Just by running havingness. Of course, running havingness, out it goes. You can take the same circuit, and by reducing havingness, bring it in. You can run some no-have process of some kind or another, run some reverse process, that, and you'll see one of these things work. You'll say, get the idea of creating some unconsciousness. Well, that's almost a process, don't you see? But it'll reduce havingness, and you'll see one of these circuits move in. It doesn't matter what process you use, so long as it reduces havingness. Well, as you reduce havingness, the circuits move in. This tells you why your PC suddenly starts ARC breaking after his havingness is dropped. Only it sounds so reasonable. There's only one thing wrong with you as an auditor right this minute. I can tell you this broadly and bluntly. There's only one thing wrong with you as an auditor, is you're reasonable. you think there's reasons for things. That's the only thing it ever really gets in your own. It is your willingness to understand something weird and peculiar as being fairly routine or ordinary. It's fact. Now, I've watched you over a period of many years, you and all other auditors, and that is the only thing which makes me actually stick my head under my cloak and giggle. It is a derisive on my part, actually, it is. Somebody walks in and says, my husband has been beating me every night, and not only that, but keeps three spare girls under the bed and won't let me have any money and so forth. And right away, you can just see a Scientologist being totally reasonable about it, you know, and saying, well, what do you know? This poor girl says this and that and accepts all the reasonability of all this sort of thing, and there's the way it is. For instance, a character not very long ago blew out of the Midwest, went out to California, promptly called up four or five Scientologists out there to tell him how mean I was being to him. I had ordered this character to go get some auditing at an HGC where they wouldn't pat a cake. Got the idea? Because his whole auditing career is studded with pat a cake auditing. And I wanted him to go and get some auditing. He started writing letters in, swearing and screaming, all at high speed. Nothing been done to him at all. See, all of a sudden he starts writing long frays of letters, and everything is wrong, and I'm wrong, and so forth. After a while, I got tired of reading all these letters, and I said, you're going to go get some auditing. And I even fixed it up in HGC so he could get some auditing. I think that was real fine. He happened to have sent in some money for some other purpose, so I sent the money to the HGC and told the HGC to give him auditing. So this was the most horrible thing that could possibly happen to him. This was a knife in the back, because he kept telling everybody HGC auditors are really no good and so forth. Well, actually, I remember vividly the only time I ever saw his case move was in an HGC in Washington. You could hear him for about five blocks. And he blew. They didn't hold on to him hard enough. We had a rough time. We finally got the thing evened off and so forth, but he's just allergic to HGCs, that's all. So he gets out to California, calls up about five different auditors out in California, and tells them how mean I'm being to him. I'm being real mean to him, I am. Well, of course, I was being mean to him. I was saying, Circuit, get lost. Where is this guy, see? And he called them all up. These fellows promptly called in the central organization in Los Angeles to explain how this fellow had a point. Yeah, he had a point. He didn't want to get audited. That was his point, but they didn't take that point. It was all perfectly reasonable. Got the idea? But why should this fellow out of the thin blue sky suddenly call up five different, disrelated, distantly separated auditors and tell them all how vicious and terrible I was being to him? And they all sit and think, well, Ron must be being very mean to this fellow. That's the only frailty. Well, this guy, of course, did. He doesn't realize it. He's obeying orders. He did leave the Middle West. He did go to California. He is right close to a central organization. He did put himself in communication with a central organization, didn't he? By making complaints. Of course, the complaints all come back to central organization. Now he's got every staff member in central organization terribly interested in getting their hands on him. He's just going about it. He's following orders. But man, how many vias can he follow orders on? Now, the only point I have in the situation is I know by experience that when somebody starts sounding off at high C about nothing, that they've evidently done something they're ashamed of, and I know if we just continue to let it go on unnoticed from there on out, well, this guy is going to blow himself off or do himself in, or something very bad is going to happen to the person. And it's not a punitive action. It's a totally merciful action. I'm just tired of people here and there in the world, there aren't very many of them, but going through a series of actions, a course of actions, which accumulate overts, accumulate more overts, and then all of a sudden start blowing their skulls off and then go get into a lot of trouble someplace or even die. And I finally took responsibility for the phenomenon. I know when these people get upset, one of two things has happened. Either something has been done to them, at which time one would know about it. But the odd part of it is when people are given injustices, when they don't have tremendous overts, they ordinarily simply write you a letter and say, there must be a mistake here. Somebody canceled a founding membership on a Scientologist in the United States, and of course these things are quite cherished because they go way back to the beginning and they're uncancelable. And all this fellow did, he thought he received a letter that it was canceled. Total error. I mean, it was just a complete goof, administrative goof, some kind or another. And he received this letter. The letter didn't come from here. He wrote in and simply wanted to know why and what it was all about. I checked into it, found out there was a goof on the situation, restored it to him, he's happy as clam. You understand? This other cycle didn't take place. But here's somebody, nobody's canceled anything on him particularly, nobody's done anything to him. The next thing you know, here he is screaming at high C. About what? Well, nothing has happened. Well, he continues to scream. The more you try to set it right, why, the harder he tries to scream. What are you looking at? You're looking at a circuit that is keyed in on somebody whose havingness has dropped out the bottom. You're looking at somebody who's being somebody else. You're seeing the exact phenomenon of an ARC break, and they occasionally take place in the sessions you give, and they are a matter of great amazement to you. See, this happens to you too. All of a sudden, you're sitting there, and you do something like you say, well, I'll give two more commands, and you're looking at the PC, and you give three or something like this, and all of a sudden, meow, you scream, meow, your dog, you've done me in, you should gun me down. I mean, God almighty, what's happening here? You scream. Well, you've possibly been on the other side of the picture, too. Your havingness has been run down, and all of a sudden, why, the guy says, I will now give you two more commands and end this process. And you say, that's fine to yourself, you know, and it's all right, and he gives you three. Or he simply says, end of process or something. And you possibly have experienced the idea of being horrified to hear yourself start yelling at him. You say, you know, it's as though you don't have anything to do with it. Have you ever had this happen? And so you don't have a single thing to do with it. You sit there and listen to yourself start cutting him to ribbons. What it is for a split instant, havingness of an auditor drops, see? Havingness of session and auditor goes boom. Got the idea? Circuit comes in, bow. Circuit starts talking. It's an energized beingness. And you sit back and say, wow, why doesn't somebody turn this damn thing off? You got the idea? That can happen both ways. Now, do you understand a circuit phenomenon?
Yeah.
It's pretty wild. Well, don't be so confoundedly reasonable. You say, well, of course I made a mistake as an auditor. Or of course he made a mistake as an auditor. Oh, come off of it. You mean giving three commands because he said he was going, and after he said he was going to give two or giving no command. You mean this is mayhem? You mean this is enough to do somebody in? Oh, no, this person's intentions are perfectly good. This person's intentions are such that he's doing everything he can or she can to assist the PC. And you mean this is going to cause all that? No. No, by golly, it's not reasonable. There's nothing reasonable about it of any kind whatsoever, and he doesn't have a legitimate beef. It's not a legitimate beef, that's all. Nobody's life's been put in jeopardy. It's easily recovered. Well, what's this phenomenon? Now, let's not be reasonable, let's be scientific about the thing. He inadvertently dropped an auditor out from underneath this guy. Well, therefore, the havingness went down. Well, the more you sit and talk to this circuit,
or the more that circuit is permitted to sound off, the more the person's having this drops. Well, if you're going to be reasonable and go into communication with this person, with these havingness going down, 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 further and further and further, the person is just going to get more and more and more and more upset. No, be scientific. Be practical. Be effective. Now, if being reasonable or seeing that the other fellow has his side of it too, and so forth, is going to get in the road of you doing something effective, then you'd better get rid of being reasonable. No, the thing for you to do is to get in there right now and give him an auditor back. Well, how do you give him an auditor back? Well, I don't care. You've got dozens of processes which give him an auditor back. One of the trickiest ways I ever saw to straighten out an ARC break is against the law. The auditor shouldn't use his body in an auditing session, by the way, except to control a PC. In other words, the auditor's body actually should not become part of the auditing session. Now, of course, the PC looks around and he says he could have the auditor, he could have the auditor's body and so forth. You can't do anything about that, but it's offbeat. You get the idea? Now, using the auditor's body as any kind of a target, you'll see there are many processes which could do this, is a bum show. This happens to be one of them, but the guy, it's legitimate because it builds ARC so fast. And I saw a circuit go in and blew a circuit out with such speed that the PC hardly didn't quite know what happened. It wasn't an auditing blunder which occasioned it. It was the fact that we were ending the process, which the PC was damn sure shouldn't be ended. Get the idea? And it made an ARC break because the auditor, I don't audit on a total effect, but I sure don't audit on a seedy-weedy, all us people in this big ARC triangle together, you see? I was driving right down the middle of the road, and I didn't realize the PC had been running a process which was tending to drop havingness, and I didn't think about it, how close the PC was to going plunk on a circuit. All of a sudden, we're going to end this process. Yeah, 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 yeah. See? Well, I went to the extreme. I didn't even talk to the PC. I just said, touch your knee, touch my knee. Got the idea? Touch your left hand, touch my right hand. I just made the PC, you know, guiding the PC's hand back and forth. Touch your chest, touch my chest, you know. All of a sudden, the PC came up with a great big ARC. Of course, I was going to end the process. The PC's havingness wouldn't have stood one more command, see? Having us down in the process. But just the contact, just a duplicative contact. What is havingness but duplication or the ability to do so? All right. Now, where you have an individual lost to the PC pulls in individuals. That's why people act so peculiarly at moments of death. They lose an ally, they apparently go all to pieces. See? They lose an individual, they pull in an individual. That's what your circuitry automaticity is. Because a circuit is an individual. It's an individuality set up in the bank. Now, when you watch these things fly in and out on a case, you can actually see the PC. If you talk to the PC occasionally, you will hear some of the most fantastic things. Don't go talking to these circuits because it again reduces its havingness as a therapeutic process. It just doesn't exist. In other words, you can't ask this fellow to what his circuit is saying and then have the circuit tell him something and have him tell you and so forth. It's not therapeutic because it reduces havingness and brings in the circuit closer. But experimentally, you can talk to circuits. You can talk to circuits. Circuits exist in various parts of the body. Actually, the old Hindu nonsense about there being seven different, I don't know, what were they, chakras or seven different something or others. I've forgotten what I used to call them. whatever these confounded things were, there's actually several of them. They're resident in various sections of a body, and you can get almost any body to talk up or any section of a body to talk up and so forth. Well, when havingness drops and a person loses too many people or that sort of thing and pulls these things in, they become active. Then sometimes they become deadened down. The individual says, don't talk, you know, shut up, while he's holding this thing right there, you see. You start processing him, he'll gradually release this thing, and it sometimes starts talking again, all very unexpectedly. But remember that circuits aren't totally relegated to talk. They have many other things that they can do. There's a long list of circuits in Book One. They do occlusions and they do this and they do that. But we're getting over, when we talk about circuits that do other things, actually we're getting over into machinery, which is a bit different than circuits, which obeys the same rules or laws of havingness. Machinery does more and different things than circuits. Circuits are most closely germane to the beingness part of life. In other words, if an individual hasn't got a character, and somebody keeps telling him he hasn't got a character, I'll be a son of a gun if he isn't likely to pull in a circuit or something like that and have a character. Running a chap at one time, a Scientologist in Washington, he was pulled in from Chicago about something or other, and I used him as, with his permission, used him on a very experimental process for one kind or another. And then all of a sudden, put him into full bloom as a rocket jockey, as though it put him on a total revivification. He was stuck on the track for quite a while, maybe 2 or 3 weeks, something like that. He didn't know who he was in present time. He didn't know anything about all this. Of course, if this mechanism hadn't been ready to fire off, and it hadn't been right there and available, it wouldn't ever have come in. Well, now, what happened in this particular case is, as a rocket jockey acquainted with better civilizations, he was all of a sudden seeing Earth the way Earth would look to a very advanced being that was used to a civilized planet. And the commentaries which he had to make on the subject of Earth were so fascinating that the boys began to put them on tape. It was fantastic because he was making perfect sense, don't you see? And his commentaries on some of the social customs of Earth and so forth are just absolutely hilarious. They're absolute fact. I mean, you can see them at once. It's like listening to the Chinese talk. It's all backwards, but it totally makes sense, don't you know? And why did this fellow stay that way for 2 or 3 weeks instead of 10 or 15 minutes in a session? Well, it just happened that it was a terribly interesting circuit, and when it snapped in, he must have been already on a lesser circuit. And when he got out of the lesser circuit, and this thing snapped as the major circuit of personality, you see, it was so interesting that everybody kept talking to it. And of course, talking to it, it was the guy, you see. So therefore, they kept its havingness bled down to such an extent that the thing stayed in. Got it? Well, eventually the fellow's havingness picked up and the thing blew off and he laughed like mad over the thing. I think we've got a couple of hours of tape recording, though, on his conversations concerning this sort of thing. Now, that gives you some idea of packaged beingnesses, one kind or another. Now, it's a weird mechanism. And let me assure you, you don't need a circuit to know everything that went on in space opera. Let me show you the liabilities of that particular circuit. The fellow didn't know he was anyplace else on the track, but the circuit, time and area. You see? He himself was stuck on the track, seeing this environment on its section of time track. Well, now, he didn't need a circuit to do that. actually cleaned up along the line so that his memory was somewhat good. He could have picked up and understood any part of the civilization he had been part of, or what its opinion would have been of this civilization here. You needed no mechanical mechanism in order to bring about the same phenomena, because that phenomena had liabilities. Definite liabilities. Part of the rationale of this sort of thing is, well, if you didn't like somebody, you might as well kill him, because they were just going to get in your road anyhow, you know. I mean, it didn't have social customs that were quite acceptable and a bunch of other things. In other words, the individual was not able to monitor this particular circuit. Now you have people going around all over the place. Somebody thinks he finds himself in a position of command or something of the sort. Suddenly, he loses all of his friends, as happens very often when one ascends to a position of command, which makes the professional private. He knows better than to leave all his pals. But somebody makes this fellow a corporal or a general or some other high-ranking person, and abruptly, he keys a circuit. Hasn't anything to do with his beingness. It's some kind of a management or authority circuit, some kind. You know. Boy, this is about the most dangerous thing that can happen to a civilization. This fellow's a perfectly good guy right up to the moment when he went in charge. Somehow or another, dropped his havingness loose of his pals, and he keyed in a circuit, and he becomes a damn madman. This has happened. This is a liability, by the way, in democracy. They elect a perfectly good Joe who's been out there pitchforking the manure in the barnyard for the photographers and milking cows, you know, and showing that he's quite a boy and so forth, and he's always been good with his friends, and everybody pushes him. Next thing you know, they suddenly give him the oath of office or whatever they take. And clang! And he just starts saying, well, declare martial law, shoot everybody. Lord knows what's going to happen now. Everybody wonders, what is this tremendous change that came over this person? Well, probably for a circuit to key like this, the fellow in the first place must have been an operating circuit, because circuits actually don't snap in on people. They most easily snap in on circuits. Got the idea? Well, as you free somebody up, you'll find these circuits will fly out and their considerations will change and things will occur. And it's the things they've been in all the time, they've been talking about all the time and knew all about all the time, as that was the way they were, their amazement to find out that they were at that time actually sitting in a dictated sort of a conduct line, which was a circuit or a social circuit or something of the sort, see the energy masses fly off, which have been troubling them, and find that these were actually part of a personality package that had nothing really much to do with them and no real use. These things can become quite interesting and exciting. But circuits are limitative of ability and limitative of reason. And circuits are inhibitive of any real force or strength. And they, of course, are very difficult to live with. I mean, when the person has one going himself, if anybody is troubled about his case, he's probably really worrying about a circuit of some kind or another. You clean up people and beings, or clean up tolerance of masses, improve havingness, improve confrontingness, all of these things handle, basically, not just pictures, but they handle the energy masses known as circuits. And it's quite important that you get these things handled. If a PC has not shifted during a long period of auditing and isn't getting any rapid shift on a tone arm, it's simply because he's having a circuit difficulty. The circuit is intervening in the auditing in some way or another. Well, it's up to you to find out how, but basically, it's up to you to find out how to increase his ability to have. How do you increase this person's havingness? And you have to work around until you've got some combination that is and will become havingness to this person. When you do that, his personality, as you've observed it, and as he's observed it, will shift rather rapidly. as soon as you've got that combination. Then you have to find out some version of confrontingness that this person can do with reality. When those two things are not done, the case has not changed. Now, as far as the total effect on the case is concerned, it tends to click in circuits because it invalidates the fellow that's there. He must be no good because he just made a mistake. He got hit, didn't he? He got a total effect, didn't he? So he must be no good. So therefore, the best thing to do is to bring in a substitute self known as a circuit and put it where he is. And you can always get more and more circuits being piled up on somebody with this total effect proposition. The more effect derogatory to the PC, which is had upon the PC, the more beingnesses he will pick up as substitutes for self and pile them in on himself. Got the idea? Well, you don't want to do that. And on the other side of the auditing is the no effect. You're attacking a circuit, which is not surrendering. And the only thing that happens is the individual kind of stirs up the energy masses of the circuit. Nothing shifts. Well, the whole clue to the thing is the sixth and seventh dynamic. And on the sixth dynamic, let's increase his ability to have. On the seventh dynamic, let's increase his tolerance of beingness. And these two things changed, of course, will change any circuitry position of one character or another. You are right here at this present moment in this unit, auditing straight at and with circuits. You might not have realized it before, but much of the phenomena which you observe and so forth is because all the processes you are running are tailor-made to handle or shift circuits and personalities and things of that character. This is a highly specialized strata of attack we're going in on. It's being quite successful. I'm very pleased with it. I hope you are. Thank you.